Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost an hour, 50 minutes every afternoon, culture, current events, and Catholic faith. We will be joined this afternoon by Father Thomas Loya of TaborLife.org, talking about theology of the body. Look forward to that discussion. Then in the last segment of the show, lots of reports on this, and it's kind of one of those when I say, when I see a bunch of news on the same issue, first off, it seems to be a big deal, and it has to be true, or it has to be factual in the sense of the way it's presented, because everybody's presenting the exact same thing. And that is regarding the Fox News interview with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich on Megyn Kelly's show on Fox, where apparently he accused her of being obsessed with sex and had some harsh criticism of her presentation of Donald Trump as possibly a sex predator. So we'll talk about that. Also, Mark Dice, not really sure where this guy comes from on his conspiracy theories, but he's got some interesting man on the street video segments. We're going to listen to some of that when it comes to voting for Hillary Clinton. All of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost hour, back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost our culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Father Thomas Loya of TaborLife.org joining us once again. Father, how are you?
Very good. Good to be here.
We talked a lot last week about this Rabbi Shmuley video that I had found and thought was pretty interesting when it comes to what we can do as men in the dynamic of our marriage. And you wanted to follow up a little bit on that before we start talking about Catholic voting, which we want to do here in a moment.
Yes, what we do as men and as women. You know, Leo, I always say there is no such thing as a marriage problem. Mm-hmm. There's only a problem in, well, basically their understanding of the theology of the body, meaning that one question that John Paul II was so right, he said that the question before modern man today is, who will man be for woman? Who will woman be for man? And basically, if I can interpret that question, it basically is asking us to look at really the great why behind our being a man and a woman. In other words, why are we? How are we? So that we can then learn from that how to be towards each other. And a lot of that has to do with understanding each other's legitimate needs. In other words, what does a man and woman need from each other as man and woman, not only as persons? Okay, first of all, naturally we're persons. We always need that a person is defined as a creature who is always in need of love and respect. You know, a person really draws definition from God, really. A person is something very different than animals and any other kind of existence. But in addition to person, specifically the person who is man and woman. So there are specific needs that are relative to the man and the woman. And how do we ascertain those needs? Well, once again, that's the beauty of the theology of the body. It's when you learn to decode the language of that body, you learn to understand how we are hardwired as man and woman, therefore what our needs are. If you just look at the body, you look at, you know, what does the language of theology of the male and female body say? And, you know, it's just like, you know, Leo, when you see a sports car, you know that it's a sports car because it says fast, you know. you look at an old time, I just saw the other, just today, an old time Lincoln Continental, you know, with those big, long, you know that it's a slow, lumbering, stately car for a person who has money, you know. It says what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a theology to its car body, in a sense. Same thing with a sports car. You know, it's designed with the kind of lines that make it look like it's going 100 miles an hour when it's standing still, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing with everything that's created, actually, whether by man or by God. primarily, of course, in this case by God, actually speaks about itself. And all we have to do is look at the thing, really contemplate it, read its language. It tells us about itself, whether it's man-made or made by God directly. Well, as in the terms of the human person, we see that the male body has that basic externality to it. The male is very programmed for doing things, accomplishing things, acting upon the external world. And you see that even in his very body. You know, even the external parts, the defining parts of the male are even external. I often tell women the secret to understanding men is think externality. Everything's external. We act externally, and we need things from outside of us, from the external world, to energize us. That's why you have this so-called male bonding. A lot of people kind of, you know, say that tongue-in-cheek, but there's something very real about that. Men need things from outside of them in order to become a real man, because they're externally oriented. Doesn't mean we don't have an internal life, but our orientation is more external, and we're more focused on the external dimensions of life. You know, you go back to Adam. You know, Adam came first because a lot of women say, well, because God didn't get it right the first time. Yeah. No, not that. No. Adam came first because God had to first create a structure in which love and life could exist and thrive. And love and life, that order would come into existence through the woman. But the man had to be there to establish and protect and be the custodian of that structure. And so the whole external orientation is very, very key to understanding men. So if that's how they are, then what might their needs be? Well, for the man, the need is going to be this kind of sense of that he has a mission. He's called to a mission. He's called to a mission because he's looked upon as the person who can get the job done, as the guy for the job. You know, you've got what it takes. And this is a message that every man has to hear first and foremost from his father. Mm-hmm. This is the most important message a man can hear. In fact, it's so important, Leo, that without that message, a man is in some way handicapped. A male is handicapped in varying degree to become a man. See, males don't become men naturally or automatically. They need this message. They need things from the outside that energizes them. And that's the first place they need to find that message, from their father. Even Jesus Christ, and before he went on his mission, he was baptized. There his father's voice boomed out from the heavens. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. And then he went on his mission. So that affirmative message has to come from the father. It must then come from the male world a man grows up in, and then it must come from his beloved. So what does that have to do with women now? Well, women then have to be very cognizant of the messages they send to their husband. In other words, how do they put things across? We talked before the program about language, and that becomes very important. It's not so much what a person says, but what the other person hears. In other words, the message beneath the words. And this is what people pick up on, the message beneath the words. So the approach that women have to have towards men should always be cognizant of this sense that they respond to mission. They respond to affirmation. They respond to that sort of like that. You can do it, attaboy. You know, you're my knight in shining armor. And they recoil at the opposite message, the message of put down, of failure, of the nagging, of the message that you're not adequate, mm-hmm. that you're not measuring up. I just talked with somebody recently, and it was a woman who's looking for like more of a support group for married couples, and she was talking about it because she says, you know, Father, I have a group of women. We get together and all that, and these are all would be presumably, you know, they consider themselves to be solid Catholic women. Mm-hmm. But says, you know what? When they get together, all they do is complain about their husbands.
Wow.
And now there's a theology body explanation for that, not a justification, but an explanation for that, and that's when we then have to shift to describing women then. So very briefly, man's legitimate need is to hear that message of mission affirmation. His greatest fear is to hear a message of failure, of inadequacy, of put down. Then he draws into his cave. He goes into his man cave. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where men go to energize. You know, we go internally to energize, and then we come back out, hopefully. But if we're if we're going to be put down, we're not going to come out of that cave, see? And then that makes things even worse. So now we shift to the woman. And the woman, again, look at the female body, designed to receive, to take things together, to be integrated, to bring things to the center. They're very focused on what is close by, what is imminent, what is relational, what is connected, very integrated, even their brain cells and so on. Okay, so what's going to be then their need? Well, it's right there in the body, speaking to you. Their need is going to be that sense of intimacy, of relational fulfillment, of closeness, of being admired, having a sense that the man in their life is present to them. He is aware of them. He can step into their feminine mystery, and he's brave enough to do that, you know, and not feel he's going to get devoured, you know, that he's with that woman. What's going to be her greatest fear? Relational distance or relational unfulfillment. You know, John Paul II points to the defining part of woman, you know, the womb. He says that's the right in there, that language, she has the gift to receive, to be filled. It tells you the very heart of her body, it's saying, I am to be filled with what? With life, through love, through a loving action. So what if I do not have that? Well, then I'm going to be empty. I'm going to be unfulfilled. And so a lot of men don't understand that what the woman needs, go back to this idea of words, she needs words. Words are important to her. She needs words. She needs words that, because words go into you. You know, you receive words, and she's programmed to receive. So she needs to hear those words. A lot of guys, you know, they say, Father, why did I have to tell her I love her? Doesn't she know I love her? You know, well, right. She may know that, but she has to feel it and sense it and hear it through words and through certain gestures that tell her, communicate to her that you are close to her. You are present to her. And again, Leo, this is one of the very, very, very devastating dimensions of pornography now. And a lot of guys don't understand this. It leaves the man, it leaves the woman feeling very, very disconnected from her husband. It's devastating to her. It's her worst fear. Mm-hmm. And men don't understand that. And so her greatest desire is going to be that relational fulfillment and that relational closeness, that connectedness. And her greatest fear is going to be that disconnect, that distancing, that unfulfillment. And once we understand these things, and these are they're very two basic fundamental things, the needs and the fears. Once we understand that, then we get into practicing how do we speak to each other, being cognizant of speech. It's a very, very critical thing. How we speak to one another, and what message are we delivering from our words? It's not so much just the words, but the message. And, you know, 9 out of 9 couples, Leo, their problems really are in this area. And when I say need, I even mean, of course, spiritual needs as well. You know, what are their needs spiritually in terms of their relationship with God, their relationship between each other in terms of their spirituality, you know, their faith existence in the home and between the two of them and among them individually. So it really comes down to need. You know, marriage is all about helping to fulfill that person's legitimate needs. Now, we're talking about needs, not just wants and desires, not about being selfish.
Hey, Father, we're going to leave it right there, and we're going to come back and talk more in just a moment. Father Thomas Loya with us this afternoon. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. We'll be back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, Current Events, our Catholic Faith Weekly, joined by Father Thomas Loya and talking theology of the body and talking specifically about what we've seen with again, I really got to applaud Pamela Anderson, I think, for her to have had the sex symbol status that she had, certainly in the 90s and early 2000s, and now to be coming out with really some very sincere messages trying to get people away from pornography. I have to applaud that. And then we're talking about this this concept of you know, eroticism within marriage. And, you know, if it's true, which it appears to be, that there's a lot of infidelity even within quote-unquote good marriages, and I don't mean infidelity necessarily like there's someone cheating, there's someone being unfaithful to their vows because they're consuming pornography or they're entertaining fantasies or whatever, you know, there's got to be a way to fix that. And some of the things that Rabbi Boteach has to say are pretty fascinating in this concept of women knowing they're desired. And, you know, because I got to admit, Father, so much of the times I think it's all the woman's in complete control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easy. It's easy for me to think it's her entire decision. And I just have to wait. I got to be patient. I've got to whatever. I've got to wait on some cue, some sort of.
Yeah.
But there's something about them knowing that there's desire coming from you. And this is what, and this may sound far-fetched, and I know I throw you for loops all the time when we talk, but I started thinking about the sower and the seed, that, you know, there's got to be an action toward the ground before the seed can even get in the ground, if that makes any sense. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So there has to be something that is an entree toward even sowing the seed. It's not like the ground just opens up magically.
No.
And,
no.
And the seed
exactly.
falls in. Yeah. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, exactly, Eliel. And again, you're touching upon the fundamental mystery, the fundamental spousal mystery. This is what I call the phallic energy of God. I mean, let's face it. He
right.
He moved out towards us. He initiated.
Right, sure.
You know, he and we had to receive. We had to open ourselves to him. You see it in the whole, you know, at the incarnation. You see. With the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Basically, it's God through the angel asking, making that approach, you know, wanting to penetrate, you know, will you open to me? Will you receive me? And I want to enter into you, you know? And so, yeah, that is a fundamental, that is a fundamental dimension of how God works, you know, the whole incarnation and the whole bride-bridegroom relationship. So, yes, that is very fundamental. And the women, see, what we're getting into is, you might call in a secular term, sexology. In other words, really the dynamics of how men and women are hardwired sexually, you know, what their needs are. And this is the key. This is the absolute key. And I do this. This is all about what I do in marriage counseling and in marriage preparation, but largely marriage counseling, Leo, is I work on the two levels. I work on basically, it's like two pillars. It's the spiritual, the fact that they are brother and sister in the Lord and how to behave that way towards each other, you know, and but also second to that and right along with that is the, like I said, the two pillars is coming to understand each other's needs as man and woman, almost like a certain sexology. And they don't know that about each other. Like the guy doesn't know that like for instance, women, okay, why do they dress like they do oftentimes? And why do our young ladies do much of the chagrin of fathers and pastors, because they you're right, they have the need to, they want to be desired, they want to be affirmed in their femininity, not only as a person but in their femininity. And the man, as you said, he wants to be affirmed in his manhood. Basically the key word for men would be respect. They want to be respected. They want to be taken seriously. And because by nature they're given that sort of further vision, and they want the wife to understand and respect that she may not see or understand what he's seeing, but to respect him in that, you know, to trust him in that. And that means the world to the man. And of course, men desire, again, they're hardwired, they're stamped in their language of their body. They hang on one particular message, which must come first from their father, the male world, and the beloved. And that is that language of adequacy, of affirmation. Yeah, you are. Just as God the Father said to his own son, Jesus, you know, at his baptism, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The man needs that affirmation. You're the guy. You're the one that can get the job done. You're the knight in shining armor. I respect you. You know, you're my hero. Boy, a guy will do anything when he hears that message. Mm-hmm. And when he doesn't, this is when he goes astray, you know. And women don't understand that. And they have to be told to understand. That's really what all my marriage counseling is about, is getting a man and woman to understand who they are as man and woman, mm-hmm. you know, what their fundamental needs are, and then to, and of course, to be brother and sister in the Lord to each other. And conversely, for the woman, since they experience things more on a sentimental, what we call a seminal emotional basis, they're going to need that more. It's more of a relational kind of affirmation. For men, it's more of an adequacy affirmation. For the woman, it's more of a relational affirmation. They want to know that someone, they want to see reflected in the man's eyes their worth, that he does admire their femininity, and they are desired, and not just in a lustful way, but their femininity is desired. You know, you're a person and you're a male or female all at the same time. You know, we can't really separate those out. You're first and foremost a person, but you are so by means of being a man or a woman. And so the level of the person, a level of the sex, you know, complementary gender, whichever word you want to use, that always has to go hand in hand. So when I work with couples, I talk to them on the level of the person, but also the person as man and woman, and what your needs are, how you're hardwired, what you expect and see from one another. All the problems in marriage really fall down, Leo. I always say there's no marriage problem. There's only a problem in understanding who we are as man and woman. But they all boil down to that. They're not understanding that. Now, they're not picking up the clues. And they're not reading that language of each other's bodies. And that's really what I do, is I just take them through the paces of learning that language and picking up on each other's clues. You know, husbands and wives, when they're having trouble with each other, or difficulties, arguments, really what they're doing is they're sending messages to each other. They're really saying, hey, I have needs. You're not meeting them. But they can't, they don't know how to articulate that directly. They just put it in terms of, oh, you're doing this wrong, or you're no good, or you hurt me, or whatever. And the other person fires back. Well, if they really listen to the message beneath the words, what the other person is simply saying is, I need you to meet my needs. And you're not doing it. You're not picking up on it. You're not doing it. And this is one of the things I get couples to understand and to communicate to each other. Like, listen, I asked a couple. I said, okay, now you just heard from your wife. What is she saying? What's the message she's trying to give you? Don't you hear it? She's trying to say this very thing we're talking about, that I want you to be present to me, to be inside me, to value me, to be conscious of me, to enter into my feminine mystery, to let me know that I'm beautiful, I'm capable of being loved. I want to know that. I have to know that through words and gestures, not just the fact that, well, I go to work every day. What else does she want? You know, no, I, you know, then she know I love her. I go through all this for her, take out the garbage, whatever. No, she needs it on the level of the person, on a much more personal level. Now, the guy needs it on much more a level of mission and task and adequacy and affirmation. And I conversely ask the woman, okay, do you hear what he's been saying to you? He's been saying that he needs from you that message of affirmation, and you're not giving it to him. So you're both, again, it's that cycle, and you try to break the cycle and turn what is a cycle of reciprocal hurt into a cycle of reciprocal meeting of each other's needs. And each one has to kind of, I always tell them, you have the key to each other. It's like you got each other shackled. You want him to meet your needs. Well, you have the key to unloosen his handcuffs so he can meet your needs. You can't just say, meet my needs. You have to help him, give him permission to meet your needs, and vice versa. So it's incredibly reciprocal, Leo. It's just amazingly reciprocal.
I just wonder, especially after experiencing this recent stuff from Rabbi Shmuley, and we've got just a minute or so left here, so we're running out of time. We have to pick this up next time. You know, I'm reminded of that Aesop's fable where the wind and the sun are battling each other, and the wind says, I can strip this guy of his clothes because I'm going to blow so hard, I'm just going to blow his clothes off, right?
Yeah.
And the guy just grips more tightly, right? And so, you know, then the sun just shines. He's like, watch this, I'll show you how it's done. And he just shines this brightness, and, you know, the guy has no choice. He's overheated. He's got to take his clothes off, which, you know, as odd as that Aesop's Fable was always to me, and it just sticks in my mind. I loved Aesop's Fables as a kid. There's something about that. I just wonder how much of that in a relationship could the man control when it comes to being that sunlight, that laser-focused sunlight of desire on a woman in a marriage. Because I think, you know, we do let those hurts pile up, right? And we do shift our focus. And now we're like, we don't have that intensity that we once had because we've got a wall that's being built in place of that. So, yeah, I would love to pick that up next time. We're running out of time. I don't think we're going to be able to unpack that at all. But there's some other interesting things like coveting your wife and not your neighbor's wife, which the rabbi talks about. But some interesting stuff, and I think another dimension to the whole theology of the body stuff. So, Father, as always, God bless you. Thank you for being with us, and we'll talk again next time.
Thank you.
More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown. Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Interesting stuff on Fox News last night. Did not see the original interview, but now that every other news outlet is reporting it, obviously a big deal between former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, Megyn Kelly, with Newt, as many of the Republicans have begun to do, now throwing full support behind Trump, kind of the anything but Clinton mentality that many conservatives have. I understand that. That's part of being conservative. You generally hate liberals. That's part of being a Ford driver. You hate Chevys. and quite frankly, I see it as just about that trivial. Now, to Ford fans, or Chevy fans, either one, that's not necessarily as trivial as you may think. Nonetheless, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. A very shallow, in many cases, a very shallow understanding. We're going to get to that in a moment because we're going to hear from voters who, my goodness, have no clue. So that's kind of what I'm referring to. But regardless, what happened on Fox News, Megyn Kelly essentially saying that supporting the suspicion that Donald Trump might really be a sex offender. And by doing that, welcoming, I guess, the ire of Newt Gingrich, basically saying, look, this is unfounded. You don't know that any of this is true. Kelly comes back and says, we don't know that it isn't true. And then Gingrich with just a bizarre comeback of, you're just obsessed with sex. Weird. Weird at the very least. No, you know, and I've had a lot of respect for Newt Gingrich over the years, and there's a lot of people I've had tremendous respect for who want to do everything they can to defend Donald Trump, and that just really doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. And I'm an independent now. I know I've been a registered independent for the past few years, and it puts me in a different category. Praise God, it puts me in a different category. So much, in fact, and I'll plug this because it's coming soon and we're going to have more of this, exclusive podcast content from a new show that we're developing with Breadbox Media called An Atheist and a Catholic Walk into a Bar. And what this is a discussion between me and a friend of mine who is now declaring a degree of atheism or agnosticism, however he happens to present himself on any given day. And one of the reasons why he's willing to have these conversations with me is because I am an independent and because I do take a centrist point of view and I'm willing to listen. And he appreciates that. So we can have intelligent conversation on issues, on topics, without it being threatening. But that's not what you see in this political climate. You see threats. You see people with very intense rhetoric and lots of crazy stuff out there. And on the other side of the political fence, crazy stuff from those who claim to be Democrats and really don't even have a clue what Hillary Clinton's policies are, her platforms, or even her running mate. Now, Mark Dias is out there with some really bizarre conspiracy theory concepts, and I think he's doing that largely for the publicity, and I think he's discovered that this has kind of built a better name for him. More power to him. He's allowed to do that, and he can do whatever the heck he wants. But when he talks to these potential voters, generally the ones I've seen, it's been young people, maybe 20-somethings, and they're at the beach, and you know he's catching these guys off guard. But he's got some individuals in their 60s and 70s and 50s and 40s in this. It's a wide range. It's not just kids at the beach. And it's disturbing when you hear just how clueless they really are when it comes to their politics. Let's listen to a few minutes of this, and then we'll unpack it on the other side.
Is it Hillary Clinton running for president? What is it about her conservative values that you agree with?
Probably none. Is she a Republican?
Yeah. Do you support Hillary Clinton?
Not really. I'm a Democrat. So.
So obviously Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton were a Democrat, would you maybe support her then?
Probably.
Is it her pro-life stance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that she's a woman is really
she's
all that
a woman.
We, all that
we need women in
That's
the world.
Right.
You know?
Who cares what her policies
exactly.
are, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But I think it'll be a great thing for us as women, you know, because we have much to say, and our voice needs to be as heard as well, and we're very compassionate about the country as well, too.
Which conservative values of hers you support for her to be put into the White House?
I haven't really followed up on her a lot, to be honest.
But she would be the best candidate, obviously.
Yeah.
Just because she's a woman, we need a change.
Yeah.
Do you like that Hillary Clinton is very transparent, and she actually released all her emails to Congress so they could see what she did as Secretary of State?
Yeah, I think that shows how much dedication she has for her work. I think that's amazing.
I really do. I mean, you know, as far as, I mean, she's being transparent in a lot of areas. So, I mean, it's like she has nothing to hide, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, I agree with what she's doing.
And everyone knows that communication is the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Proper communication and the back and forth, it gets a lot of things done. Communication is the key.
Yeah, if you have nothing to hide and you're doing everything right, you know, of course it makes perfect, perfect sense.
Just that she's truthful, you know?
Very honest woman.
Honest, yes.
Full transparency with the emails, servers.
Yeah.
She also made a very strong stance saying she's not going to take any money from any foreign government to influence her political decision. Do you think that's good?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's good because they wouldn't have much control over her, you know, in the decision she made.
Have you heard the news of Margaret Sanger, this very strong female, becoming her vice presidential candidate?
I have. Yeah. Yes, I have.
What do you think about these two strong women running for the 2016 election?
I say more power to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Do you like the pro-life stance that they both have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So probably Sanger and Hillary.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, there are certain issues. Women's rights are very important to me.
Yeah.
And usually the GOP doesn't quite go that way.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her very much.
So are you going to be voting Hillary Clinton and Margaret Sanger in 2016?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm going to be voting.
Hillary Clinton, as you probably saw, has chosen Jackie Kennedy Onassis to run as her VP for vice president. Is that a good choice for President Hillary?
Yes.
Jackie Kennedy Onassis as her vice president?
Yeah.
The two of them have some pretty good insight into the political world and could help the New World Order, I guess?
Yeah, I agree.
How do you feel about Hillary Clinton's support of Edward Snowden? Pretty good, kind gesture on her part, wouldn't you agree?
She's taking a stand. She isn't sitting on the fence.
That's or some other politicians, obviously,
correct.
Have called Edward Snowden a traitor. Hillary Clinton, very brave to call him an American hero. That's pretty powerful stance, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. You can't call somebody a traitor because they got a political view.
Yeah. All right. We really don't watch a lot
That's
of TV.
Okay.
We are we stay busy. So we are here for a vacation.
Okay.
So
But you're voting for Hillary.
We are voting for Hillary. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. I've never been political. I'm not really religious.
Who cares who runs America these yeah. days, right?
Yeah, it's just...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it just...
doesn't matter.
Mark Dice with his Man on the Street interviews there, or People at the Beach, it seems. That's kind of where he always is. But again, not just kids, not just college kids, not just spring breakers, whatever. I've seen him do those kind of things, and it's embarrassing there. But again, we heard a couple of older voices there, and if you see the video, which is floating around all over Facebook right now, you could see that. And my goodness, how do we not know better? How do we not know better? As Americans, I get that there are those who just want to see a woman president. I get that. I understand that. But as I say, I honestly don't care who you're voting for. I really don't. But if you're a Catholic and you're voting for either Trump or Clinton, back it up with something. Back it up with something more than just, well, anything but that other guy. That's not sufficient to me. It's really not. I want to hear you say, here's why I believe my candidate has the best moral framework based on what I understand as a values voter, as a Catholic voter. I want to hear that. Which, by the way, it's 28 minutes. If you listen to this show, it's not as long as this show. It's not 50 minutes. It's 28 minutes. With me lecturing on this particular situation of voting as a Catholic, voting with values, if you want to hear a little bit of deeper expression on some of the stuff than what I normally can get into on the show, take a listen. Watch. There's a video there so you can see me presenting to a group of young adults. And we're talking about some important issues and really how to vote as a Catholic. And I'm not saying I'm the expert. I've just read the USCCB document. I understand it. I get it. I've intimated it a very specific way, and I've talked about that here on the show. I talk about it in the talk. But nonetheless, let's work on forming our consciences, regardless of who we vote for, really. Regardless of who, you're not going to form your conscience according to the church, and then magically, bam, there's one candidate that fits that. There's not. But when you make that decision to vote, please back it up. Back it up with more than what we heard in this that, well, she's a woman. Or back it up with some knowledge. If somebody asks you who her running mate is, be prepared to say Tim Kaine. Don't think it's someone who has been dead for several decades or someone who can't even be on the ballot, which is what we heard in this. It's crazy that people are clueless. Educate yourself, please. Educate yourself on the issues and back them up. That's all I'm asking. That's all I ask from anyone. Just back it up. Give me a reason why. And make it good. Make it good. Make it meaningful. Not just something crazy like, well, it's about time we have a woman president. That's meaningless. Makes no sense. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.